The defining episode of Parshas Shlach is in fact one of the most cataclysmic events in all of Jewish history, and that is of course the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies. And yet, despite that characterization, when you read the actual psukim, at least on the surface, it's not at all clear what was the sin and who sinned. The people, the spies, both. In fact, there are a number of different approaches in the Mefarshim to this question. Rashi, at the beginning of our parsha, basing himself on comments of Chazal in the Medrash and in the Gemara, explained that the people showed a lack of faith in the very request for the spies and their mission. The very fact that they asked for spies showed a lack of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who had already promised them that they would go into the land, that the land was amazing. They had already seen what Hashem had done in Mitzrayim, and yet they felt the need for the spies. That showed a lack of faith. Nevertheless, Rashi concludes that despite the fact that Hashem already had reason to punish them right there and then, he went through with the charade, as it were. Hashem went through and allowed the spies to go on their mission, at least on the hypothetical possibility that they would not make the mistake any worse, and in fact, hopefully give a good report and the people would go into Eretz Yisrael the way they were supposed to. Of course, that allowed for the possibility that the nation would double down and make their initial mistake even worse and not want to go in, which of course is the tragic end that in fact occurred. But the basic approach of Rashi and Chazal is a very request for the spies, irrespective of the mistakes or differences in their actual report, but the very request already showed a lack of faith on behalf of the entire nation. Ramban, in a very, very lengthy piece here in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, disagrees with this and says quite powerfully and passionately that there's nothing wrong whatsoever with asking for sending spies. It's in fact a normal reconnaissance mission. We have other examples in Tanakh where this was done. It was clearly not problematic in those examples, including when Yeshua himself eventually conquers the land and sends his spies in advance. In fact, Moshe had hoped that once the people were sending in the spies, perhaps they'd come back with a very positive report which would get the people excited about going into Eretz Yisrael. What could be bad? Moreover, says Ramban, the basic initial report, the actual facts as they were reported, were not problematic. They were accurate. Were they sent back, asked the Ramban rhetorically, were they sent to bring back a false report? Were they sent to lie? So what was the problem? And for that, the Ramban answers, it wasn't that they went or in their initial words, but rather that after their initial report, they started editorializing. And instead of just being objective reporters of the facts, they injected a certain subtle and subjective bias when they implied or claimed that despite all the good points of the land, because of the current inhabitants being too mighty, they wouldn't be able to overcome the land. And the pivotal pasuk for this is pasuk Chavches, when after they themselves report back about the incredible land, its peros and its flowing with milk and honey, but then they say, Ephes, but, ki oz ha'am hayoshev aretz, this people is too mighty, and the cities are betsuros gedolos ma'od, the cities are very fortified, and the people are giants, etc. Ephes, but, that one word, says Ramban, changed everything. They went from being a mere reporter of facts, but interjecting their own personal bias. But, despite what I've just reported to you, now let me add my personal opinion. Ephes, we cannot do it. And Ephes doesn't just mean but. There are other words that say but. Ephes is almost a very negative. Ephes is nothing. We're nothing. There's no way we can do it. There's no chance. Ephes, but, despite how great the land is, we cannot do it. The Akedah Yitzchak gives a mashal that's as if a master sends a servant to the factory to check out the various linens to see what their material is, what their cost is, what their size is, what their color is. If he just reports the facts and then lets the master decide if he wants to go ahead with the purchase, that was his job. But if instead he reports the basic facts and then adds, but it's this and this color, but it is this and this price, that very single word of but has changed his report from being merely repetition of the facts to in fact editorializing and implying, but maybe you don't want to get it. Maybe it's not the right color. Maybe it's too expensive. That initial subjective bias that was infecting the report the veneer of that completely comes off and they go full advocate against going in response. And the next wave of the discussion and the next stage of the discussion, after Yehoshua tries to salvage things, Kalev tries to salvage things by saying that we can do it. We can do it. Yachol nuchala. But instead, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, they respond, Lo nuchal da'alos el ha'am ki chazaku mimenu. We cannot do it. Instead of just reporting the facts of the land, or even just subtly having a bias, here, as I say, the veneer comes off. It's not even a pretense of objectivity. Now they're in full advocacy mode, says Ramban. This was the problem. The Akedah Yitzchak offers his own, perhaps you could say, third interpretation as well about the fundamental flaw of the people, and that is, he suggests that when they were rejecting going into Eretz Yisrael, they weren't just rejecting Israel. What they really were rejecting was HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the holy way of life that Eretz Yisrael would represent. When they said Lo Nucha La'alos, what they meant was not just that we don't want to go up to Eretz Yisrael, but rather they didn't want to go up. They didn't want to scale the heights of spiritual ambition, the ladder, the vehicle of which is Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want a life that had a beautiful life, but one with limits of the Torah. They wanted a life that had no limits. And that's what they meant when they said, V'nashuvo Mitzrayma. They wanted to go down to a land of tumah and no limits. They preferred an easy and secure life, or what they seemed, thought was easy and secure, over the more ambitious and clearly demanding, but ultimately more meaningful life of Eretz Yisrael. This was their bechia shel chinam, as Chazal say. They cried for nothing, and as a result, it has become a bechia ledoros, as throughout the generations, this remains our pattern, so often choosing short-term relaxation and apparent security over the long-term investment in the true security and spiritual advancement.